way too much fun back there. Grandkids are fine. We got to take a couple of ours to Kung Fu Panda 4, so one of my favorites. So if you haven't watched Kung Fu Panda, watch at least the first two. Those are the better ones. But his words of wisdom, you know, never do a deep squat with a chopstick in your pocket. So there's wisdom that comes from these movies. Had a good time, a tub of popcorn and drinks and gob blasters or whatever they're called. Later we made it. So going to be in a few different passages today. Talked a little bit about God's presence last week, but we're going to talk about what do we do with the power this week. His presence is power, and so what about God's power in us? You know, His presence all around us, but His power from the Holy Spirit's in us. You know, it's like a car. Your car's got an engine in it. It's got power in it that takes us places we want to go. We can drive to work. We can go to the store. We can go to the doctor. We can go to the movies. We can accomplish a lot of things with it if we're using it. Remember the 500 years ago, you know, guys didn't have luck. You know, Lloyd Ruby never had luck. Mario Andretti never had much luck. And they would be going around, maybe leading the race, and, you know, right towards the end, and it's, Andretti's off the power. He's slowing down, you know, in the last 10 laps or so. And it's about the same thing for Lloyd Ruby. He'd be leading the race maybe, and, oh, Ruby's lost power. He's slowing down. And so what happens when the car won't go without the power. We got to have the power to compete, power to stay ahead, power to keep going forward. So the power is all there in the car, but we got to have the key turned on. We got to be using it. You know, the power is still available at all times. If sometimes we don't use it, we park it in the garage or it's sitting out in the driveway. We're not using it. It's just sitting there. But it's still available to us. It's still a powerful thing. You know, a rural family years and years ago was finally able to get electricity to their house, and they wanted it pretty badly. And it took a few months to get it put in and took some expense, but it was finally installed. Over time, the meter reader, they still had them back then. Think we do now, it's all electronic. But anyway, he saw they weren't using a lot of power, so he checked the power source, and it was good, it was working fine. And he asked them if everything was all right. Were they using it? I said, yeah, it's fine. He says, we turn it on to light our lamps, and then we turn it back off again. So we got to use it if it's there. We can't just flip it on when we want it or when we think we need it and then turn it back off again. It's there to use. We can't just turn it on during occasions. You know, maybe Sundays. Well, I think I'll try to use that today. And we flip on the power God's put in it. The Holy Spirit don't quite work like that. So the Holy Spirit's there all the time. We can't turn it off and on, although we try. But the power is there to be used, just like it was in his house. The power is there to turn the lights on. The power is in us to shine the light. You know, we're supposed to be using it to shine the light to others. And so we have that power, but are we using it? I'm going to start out in Joshua. Don't get too close to something. I'll stand back. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 3 through 9. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible, but again, it says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. This is as they were going into the promised land. It says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to the inherited land to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them.
Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go.
Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
I just turn that off. Okay. All right.
Out of power.
Yeah, you're okay.
And out of power. Oh, man. Just my luck. And this is St. Patty's Day. I am a little Irish, so. Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? One that, like those carnival people, you know, she walks, she talks, she crawls on her belly like a reptile. You know, all the things that you hear. Sorry, I digress. Anyways, Joshua, we'll finish that. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be wherever you go. So, God's presence and power is a promise. You know, he promises to be with us. He promises to give us what we need. He says no one will be able to stand against you. You know, the Bible says God is for us, who can be against us? You know, I was always a little confused how to answer that. Do we answer, well, no one, it doesn't matter? Or even if it was everyone, it still wouldn't matter if God was for us. It didn't matter if no one was against us or everyone was against us. God's for us, that's all that matters. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we got some buts and ands in there that we need to apply. He's going to be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But you know, the first time he says, be strong and courageous. You know, there's part of it we got to participate in. We have to step out. We have to be strong. We have to be courageous. We have to be bold in doing what he tells us to do, what he's asked us to do. Because he's got work for us to do. You know, he's chosen us people to be the bearers of the gospel, the bearers of his word. Notice again, he says be strong and very courageous. You know, it kind of ups the ante a little bit. So it takes courage to step out. We've got to step out of our comfort zone to speak to people, to talk to others, to share his word. It's not always easy. But it's what he's asked us to do. And there's an and. We also have other work to do. We have to be obedient and stay on the straight path. He says, I have for you. So we need to be obedient to the call, obedient to do what he's asking us to do. We need to be in the Word of God so we can understand what to do. And that's the next and. It says, and stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. As we're studying Hebrews, it says you need meat. You can't just stay on the milk. You need to get into the meat of it. You need to understand it so you can distinguish right from wrong. And saying we need to be in the Word. And he says this will make you prosperous and successful. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. He says, I am with you wherever you go. Again, there's plenty of examples of God's power in people in the Bible, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Moses is one of my favorite characters of the Bible, people of the Bible. You know, he tried not to be obedient. He tried several excuses to get God to pick someone else, and as we do. He's just a person like we were, like we are. He was afraid. You know, he'd been run out of town, so to speak, out of where he was, threatened to kill him and chased him out. Of course, then he says, you know, another excuse is, who am I? You know, who am I? You know, why would you choose me? Why am I the one you've asked to do this? You know, what do I matter? There's probably plenty of other people more talented, more special, more well-known than me. Why me? Or who am I that you would choose me? Of course, then he said, well, he didn't think he spoke very well. You know, well, I'm not very good with words, and, you know, I may not say it right and put my thoughts together correctly. I'm not very good with words. And then he got to, well, why would they even believe me? You know, who am I? I can't talk. I'm kind of afraid. Why would they even believe me? Someone that's, you know, coming in like that. I'm thinking, well, that sounds like me. I argue that, but I'm not very good at talking either. I'm not a good speaker. It's a little scary. You know, the who am I? Who am I? Why would you pick me to do it? And I think at least some of you, I about guarantee all of you have felt at least one of those in your life. You know, you're either a little afraid or who am I? Or don't think you can do what he's asked you to do. But he'll give you the power to do it. Lord said, look, I'll take care of things. You just need to stay in my word, be obedient to do what I'm asking you to do. I'll be with you. Go ahead. He said, go ahead and take Aaron with you. You know, he got a little fussy, but he's gracious. Said, go ahead and take Aaron with you. I'll put words in both of your mouths. So he's saying, you don't have to come up with it. I will tell you what to speak. I will give you the words. And he says, I'll do the miracles to show them the power is through me. It's not through you. And then paraphrasing the rest of it, he says, okay, now I've chosen you, so grab Aaron, grab your stick, and get out there. All right? Take your staff, take Aaron, and do what I've asked you to do. And he did. And God worked many things through Moses as he was obedient. He sought the Lord and had courage. Another time Israel had been disobedient, one of the many times, put you in a bad spot. God had given them over to the Midianites. The Midianites were very oppressive. They would take all the crops for themselves. They would run through like locusts, it says, take all the crops for themselves. What they didn't take, they would burn off. They would kill all the livestock that Israel had. And because of this, Israel pretty much tried to hide everything. So they lived in caves and clefts of mountains. And then it got to the point where we finally get to the point where they cried out to God. And they cried out for help. And God answered. And he sent a deliverer, which the Old Testaments are full of deliverers. And the deliverers are all precursors to Jesus. And the deliverer at this time was a fellow named Gideon. So I want to read Judges chapter 6, 6 through 16. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. So we get into predicaments, you know, we have the why moments when things go bad. And, you know, he had a why moment. Gideon didn't understand, you know, why have you left us? And God never leaves us. He's already said he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always there, even though times we don't understand why things are going bad. But he will eventually turn it around. He has his own reasons. He knows because he's God and we're not. So he knows why things happen. But Gideon, we find Gideon was chosen. Of course, he's threshing in a wine press. Well, you're supposed to thresh out in the open, kind of on the hill where the wind blows, because when you throw it up in the air, the chaff blows away and you got the good part left. Well, that's not where he was. He was kind of in the basement, you might say, trying to thresh wheat and stuff. He was in the wine press. And an angel of the Lord appears and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." That wasn't something he was expecting. You can see him saying, "Who, me? Or who are you talking to?" And but you know, he was, you know, he had the excuses too, similar to what Moses had, you know, a lot of kind of the "Who am I?" You know, "I'm the least. I'm the least of my clan is the least, and I'm the least of my clan. I'm at the bottom of the barrel here." But God chooses those. God chooses the weak to show his strength. God calls him a mighty warrior. He says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel. Am I not sending you?" So it doesn't have to be, you have to have all the strength. You just have to go in the strength you have. He will use that if you're obedient. And again, he says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." He will do the power, but through Gideon, if Gideon's obedient. Well, now, there was a few more tests by Gideon, and I sympathize. You know, the fleece, you all know the fleece, you know. "I'm going to throw it out there wet. If it's dry, then I understand. Well, wait a second. And I'm going to throw it out there dry. Now, if it's wet, you know, I've thrown the fleece out plenty of times, I confess. I've thrown fleeces out there to get answers, and probably more than I should. But he was gracious to me, and he was gracious to Gideon. He didn't complain. He just did as Gideon asked, or Gideon wanted to be sure. And God was gracious with that. And Gideon was obedient, and he did what God told him to do. God used him to save Israel from the Midianites. Now, God says, "With me, you can do anything. You can do anything. But without me, you can do nothing." So it's not about our power. It's about the power of God in us. I'll read a short section in Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 to 31. It says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith. Why did you doubt?'" Remember what he said. Take courage. Don't be afraid. You know, Peter asked for God's power. He wanted God's power. And Jesus gave it to him. When we accept Christ, we get God's power. We get the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus took it. And Peter took it. And he walked on water in Jesus' power for a little bit. And then what God said, don't do, he did. Fear and faith fell by the wayside. He took his eyes off Jesus, which caused him to fail. He lost focus on what he was doing. And
who he was doing it through. But again, he got to that point, he cried out to the Lord to save him. And Jesus was there to catch him. For obedient, do what God asks. He's there to catch us too, because we're going to fail some. But he's going to catch us when we fall. He's full of grace. But we need to live by faith in him and the power that he gives us. And before we get on Peter too hard, remember there's 11 other people in the boat. They didn't get out. Are you willing to get out of the boat? Or are you afraid? Do you lack the faith to get out of the boat? You've got the power. You asked him. He said, here it is. Or are you comfortable just sitting there? Well, Peter showed enough faith to at least step out. That's what we've got to do. A little farther down in Matthew 26, I'm going to talk about Peter again. Matthew 26, the very end, 69 through 75. It says, now Peter was setting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came in. You also were with Jesus of Galilee. This is as Jesus was arrested and taken in. And, you know, Peter and John snuck in to see what was going to happen. It says, the servant girl said, you also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And went outside and wept bitterly. We're pretty weak vessels. We're pretty weak. But the power of God's bigger. The power of God's greater. Peter denied Christ three times. He said, I don't know him. He had some fear. He had some faith issues. Then we see in Acts 2 with the Holy Spirit, with the strength. Peter had all the power of the Holy Spirit then available to him. He had the power of God. And it says he stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Faith and power in the Holy Spirit overcomes fear. Faith and the power of the Holy Spirit overcomes fear. And he gave the gospel message to everyone about Jesus. You know, he went from, I don't know him, I don't know what you're talking about, cursing that he didn't know him. The power gave him the ability to completely turn around and say who Jesus was to everyone. And God used that power that he put in him to save. It says saved around 3,000 people that day. We've got the same power Peter did. Got the same Holy Spirit. We can overcome fear. We can increase our faith by being obedient and watching God work. Just keep in mind the victories don't belong to us. We're the vessels. They belong to God. He's why the victories are possible. One more section to read for you, which is Ephesians 3. And it's 7 through 21. Tell us a little bit more about the power that he gives us. It says, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, heard that a couple of times before already, the grace was given to me to preach the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery
which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which is for your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of this glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him is able to immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. We'll have an invitation in a moment here. Folks can come forward. But God's calling believers for his service. He's calling for his service, and he's empowering them to do what he wants us to do. We're just said to go do something and we don't have the ability to do it. Whatever we lack, he's going to give us. You know, all of us, the church, that's all of us, are being called. You know, his power has given us grace. The power of the Holy Spirit strengthens us and empowers us. And in our inner being, if we have faith and are rooted in love, and that's where we have to have it, really deep down inside. Can't just be on the surface. We need to understand that power within us. You know, he wants us to have that power to comprehend how much he loves us. It takes power to really understand his love for us. That love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the brim with the fullness of God. He wants us to be filled up with him. Filled up with the Spirit. Filled up with his love. You know, we can do a lot of things with that. We'll only take that and use it and comprehend what that is. Danny Simpson. Sometimes we just don't understand what we have. Danny Simpson was a 24-year-old Canadian fellow who decided he was in need. So to fix that need, he decided to use a gun and rob a bank in Ottawa. Now, I'm not sure how good he was. He got away with $6,000. But he robbed it, got $6,000. Again, he might not have been very good because he got caught. And he was sent to 6 years in prison. Well, Danny got sent to prison. His gun got sent to a museum. They figured out he had a .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic pistol that was found to be an antique gun. And was made in 1918 by the Ross Rifle Company. That pistol that he used to get $6,000 was worth up to $100,000. He didn't know what he possessed. He didn't know what he had. Had he understood what he possessed, he would have probably made some different decisions. Would have maybe used it in a different way. Now, do we know what we possess? Do we have a grasp of it? You know, do we profess it or do we possess it? There's a huge difference, big difference. Do we have the experience of God's presence in our life? But do we also use the power of God's Spirit in our life? We just have so much power through God. You know, just think about it. You got the power to heal, the power to change lives, the power to save others through him. You know, if we didn't have that power of prayer to heal, we wouldn't have the prayer list. There would be no need. But we have that prayer power to do that. the power to save others through him by telling them. And he'll give us what we need to do that. But we need to be obedient, have faith to grasp and apply the power that he's given us. We just need to really reflect and really, really pray and really understand what he's given us and the power that's inside us to do amazing things that we just don't comprehend most of the time. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your examples, Lord. You sent plenty of people to do things that you've asked them to do, Lord, that didn't feel qualified, didn't feel big enough, didn't feel smart enough, didn't feel like they were capable of doing it. Matter of fact, a lot of times the way they talk, you pick the least. And that's so your greatness can be shown. That even if the least of us is obedient and has faith, you can do mighty things from the Lord. You can use them to increase your kingdom, to draw others to you, to make a difference in this life. Lord, let us help us to understand the Holy Spirit power that's within us, that the abilities that you've given us, Lord, if we step out of the boat, if we just be obedient, if we just desire it, Lord, and wish to use it, and to see you use it in us. Lord, just help us to understand it better as we go. Help us to step out as we go this week, Lord, that we get uncomfortable for you, Lord. You will give us what we lack. Lord, we're so thankful for the Spirit within us that leads, guides, and directs us and gives us the strength if we just only fear not and have faith. Lord, we just thank you so much for all you give us and provide for us. We just thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name.